This is JFM Podcast.
Lovely morning it is. We're still on to JFM 101.9, Just CT. The Morning Jay is still the program. And of course, Let's Talk, the last segment of the Morning Jays here for you to actually get to know the latest happenings in the nation. And not to forget, we'll be talking about some interesting issues where you can actually share your thoughts and, give your own opinion at the same time. It's that time of the day where we bring up important issues and we have a guest that will be doing this with us in the studio. Talking about the issues today, before going in, I am Richard Badung and I'm not alone this morning.
Yes, you're not alone. I am Naomi Karim. Welcome to Let's Talk on J101.9 FM.
All right, let's talk about the first topic. I remember we bring to you two important matters. The first one we'll be talking to you about today is the involvement of youth in building good governance. Over time, the youth has actually clamored for being involved in governance due to the fact they've been sidelined for reasons we can't really tell. Now, from the look of things, we've actually seen increase in every administration of the youth in every part of government, from the executive down to the legislature when they be elected into power. Following that very point, President Tinubu appointed 7 youth into his cabinet, this administration that involves, the Minister for Youth and Minister of State for Youth, the Minister of Interior, not to forget, the Minister of, not to forget the Minister of Humanitarian Affairs and Poverty Alleviation, amongst others that were involved in the appointment. Joining us this morning to talk about the importance of bringing the youth in and how the youth can be involved in building good governance, we have with us in the building to talk about this, Mrs. Yitsim Datong. Good morning.
Good morning, and thank you for having me on the show.
All right. Hope I didn't really murder your name. All right. Let's quickly hear from you. We've actually clamored for the involvement of youth in Nigerian in good governance or in building good governance. Over time, we've had a few. Have we been able to achieve that goal, or the youth are lesser?
No, we've not been able to achieve that goal, but that's to only restrict it to political involvement. But in governance generally and nation building, the youth are actually at the forefront of it in Nigeria. If you look at many industries, tech, industry to be specific, entertainment, the youth are the leading force in those industries and promoting the nation in that capacity. However, when we come to, political involvement, the youth too are actively involved. However, when it comes to the scale of governance, that's where the problem comes in. I do recognize that political appointments and government positions are not, so many to accommodate all the youth we have in Nigeria, because we have a large youth population. However, we feel like the youth having, that energetic expression in everything they find themselves in, having that youthfulness and all that comes with it, all the vibrance that comes with it, innovation and all of that, it is expected that we should see more youth, managing government offices, managing nation building in Nigeria.
All right. Now let's to bring up this very issue, talking about politics on good notes. Have we been able to replicate that, to give us the need or the chance for us to go to the very top? Because I could remember some years back, we had a youth that was the speaker of the House of Representatives. That's Dimeji Bankole. He was elected at the age of 37, and we knew how that story ended. Now, we've actually had youths in different offices, and not to forget the governor of Kogi State is a youth. A lot of people have actually said he has not really done well. You know, he has not represented the youth very well. Of recent, just of late, Beta Edu, 37 years of age again, another youth, has not really given us or didn't represent well with the old, issues we've been seeing on ground. And not to forget, Olubumi is actually on the radar now. Today we'll be in the CCB, you know, trying to answer some few questions about a 438 million naira case. With this, what can you say when it comes to politics about the youth? Are we not ripe enough to take over leadership, or we feel like it's just for us to enrich ourselves?
I think that to answer your question, I will first start with who is a youth?
Okay.
What is the definition of a youth?
Mm.
If we can get that foundation settled, then we can proceed to comment on these people that you have spoken about. Because yes. I'm not one who enjoys, you know, labels, especially negative labels.
Okay.
Because Nigeria has had older people lead it for so many years.
Yes.
And these people have messed up in grand style. And I don't see us, you know, dwelling on those. But every time there's one youthful person who, you know, messes up, it becomes a solid reason to throw away all the youth. You know, so where is the justice in that?
Should you say because the youth are not given the more chance? The few ones that are given the chance don't use it well at the same time.
Okay, so let's start with who is a youth.
Okay.
Generally, when we talk of a youth, that's when I say generally international standards and all. We're
yes.
talking about people from as low as the age of 12, 13 to the age of 24. Generally. However, by the National Youth Policy in Nigeria, we're talking about 15 to 35. But then again, when you look at constitutional restrictions, then you begin to see that 18 will sort of be the benchmark for political involvement in terms of voting and being voted for. So now that we have that out of the way, I will say, these people who have held election, which of them is 35 or within that age range of 15 to 35? By our national youth policy. Very few. Very, very few. Now, also, let's not forget that people don't work in isolation.
True.
These are people that are appointed to systems that have been in existence.
True. Yeah.
And that is why when you allow bad precedents to continue to exist, then you begin to say, this is our value as a people. And we have allowed bad governance to exist so much. We have had older generations model embezzlement and get even awards for it. We have had older generations, you know, completely abuse the place of law in the society. And they have gotten sentimental applause for it.
Mm.
So when you bring youth or youthful people, because when you talk of Yaya Bello, you talk of Dimeji Bankole, you talk of Beta Edu, they're just youthful in terms of energy. Not necessarily that they qualify under the National Youth Policy
yeah.
as youth. So when we say youthful people were tried, what systems did they find themselves in? What modeling have they come to inherit?
Yes.
You know? So when we talk of people assuming leadership positions or assuming governance, you know, platforms or even nation building platforms, and they begin to exhibit character traits that are unbecoming of our national values in quotes, because I keep asking what are our national values in the light of things that we have come to accept to be okay based on our sentiments.
Mm.
So again, when people have modeled, older generations have modeled these things, and then they are now a reflection of our society.
Yeah.
What we hold as ethical expressions, what we hold as values. What are our norms? Do we respect our civic duties? Do we know our rights? Are our rights protected under the Nigerian law? Do we find the rule of law to be the guiding principle in Nigeria? So many questions come to bear when
all right,
we begin
so
to discuss that.
You're already diving into one of the questions I was going to ask you. Would you say that there's a gap between the old and the younger generation, especially in terms of modeling how to run an office, like run a political office, modeling how to portray and, you know, dwell in good governance, give good governance to the people. Would you say that there's a breach in that gap? And if there is, how can that breach be closed?
There is a huge gap, as I started to say. There is a huge gap. Because you see, there's the place of mentorship in achieving good governance.
True.
And so we even go as low as the family unit, because the strength of the family unit is the strength of the society, so to speak. People don't, you know, wake up and know all the things that they know and begin to act. There are stages to development. Mm. There are stages to acquiring knowledge. There are stages to, you know, manifesting yourself now as a citizen of Nigeria. So what did you pick up during these stages? You know, starting from when you're exposed to social setups, you know, what are the values? What are the ethical manifestations, representations, modeling that you have picked up? You know, so you cannot downplay societal influence, communal influence on the development of governance and nation building.
Yes. So how can this bridge be closed, especially seeing that the older generation are looking to, you know, someday very soon
take over power.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Sorry, the younger generation are looking to someday very soon take over power.
Yes. So as I said, the first stage for me is to even start from the family unit. What leadership skills are you exposing your children to? At, you know, there are age appropriate tasks, right?
Yes.
There are age appropriate, will I say rights even, that one can enjoy. So at what are you teaching them? Are you involved in their lives? Are you the mentor they look up to? Before we even start talking about our leaders up there.
Yes.
As a parent, as an auntie, as an uncle, what are you modeling to the kids around you?
Yes.
What are you telling them is right or is wrong? Or are you telling them, you know, it's a gray area, let's sit on the fence here? Because that's what is becoming common. Things that we outrightly knew to be bad and terrible and condemnable by society,
we're not accepting that.
We have now gradually started to, you know, point out a bit of white in that darkness, to point out a bit of gray, you know, and all of that, and begin to lower the standards. So children no longer see right from wrong.
Wrong.
You're telling them that it is right if it is your village man that is doing it, even when it is outrightly wrong.
Wrong.
Or it is wrong when it is not your village man that is doing it. You know, children pick up. Children learn more from even what they see
told. That's right.
So if you're telling them things and then it's not tallying with your actions, what are you saying? Then we come to schools. What are the values now in school? Yesterday I was asking somebody, I saw children who had just closed from school.
Yes.
Facing traffic. Backing traffic as they walked home. And I said, don't they teach these children now that you should face traffic?
Yes.
And he said, who will teach them? I said, what are our curriculums these days? Because where my kids go to, I know they have civic responsibility. Is it an optional subject in Nigeria? That's something I look forward to, you know, finding out.
Yes.
Because, like, how do they know that you should look left, right, and left again before you cross? You should face traffic. You should be alert. Now I see children moving around with earphones. Their ears are blocked. You're honking and they can't see
their environment.
It's these little things.
Yes.
These little things that build up to bad governance.
That's true. Okay, so my next question would be, do you think our generation of youth run away from accountability?
To an extent, yes. As I said, you know, you cannot necessarily lump a group of people and say that this is how they all approach life, or this is how they all approach governance.
Yes.
But it is a culture that we're beginning to see every day get stronger and stronger as we relate. People avoid responsibility. There's ready-made excuses waiting you know, to be used.
Yes.
And I'll give you an example. I struggle with my weight. For most of you who know me, I'm big, right? I think last weight check, I was 102 kg.
Wow.
I may not look it because I'm tall, but I was 102 kg. And every time I go to the hospital, my doctor says to me, your weight is at the center of your problem. And I get angry because it's not nice when people call you fat, right?
Yeah.
Or when they say, talk about your weight. And I'm sad. And maybe for the next 3 days or 4 days, I change my ways. I start to eat more vegetables. I start to, you know, eat more protein and all of that. So the last time I was in the hospital, I'm just trying to give an example.
Yes.
Because, you know, there's power in stories, sharing stories and experiences.
Very well.
And then I said to him, oh my God, I'm so pained. Because last year, I lost a lot of young people. You know, that I've come to know. And it really hurt. And I was like, people are dying in their 30s. Like, what's really going
happening?
On? And he said, you're a generation that hates accountability. And I refuse to be responsible. And I was like, why would you say that? And all of that. He now said, good. Every time I speak to you about your weight, you say I'm body shaming you. How are you taking...
Correction.
Yes. How are you being accountable for your lifestyle choices? How are you being accountable for the things that you feed your body with? It sank. It sank.
So was that one you heard?
Yes.
You get it.
You actually picked
sank.
That one.
So even for personal leadership, like leading myself, aright, I avoid accountability.
Okay.
Especially health-wise. So it's not completely wrong to say that we're a generation avoiding
accountability.
Because most times when you make statements, in every general statement, there are exceptions.
All right.
True. So we need to do better as a generation.
Okay.
Yeah, and be more intentional in taking responsibility.
Yes.
Okay. Now, I think you're coming from the civil society organization, you know, the CSO.
Okay. Let me just correct that.
Okay.
I'm also a public servant.
A public servant.
Yes. But I'm also active in civil society.
All right.
Because I feel like it's... all of our business to ensure that we're developing this nation on all capacities, on all fronts.
All right. Thank you for that. The for the public service role, we know the governor himself has actually included some youth now in his cabinet. And that has happened, I think, nationwide, where we see governors of states, you know, appointing youth in different of political offices, be it commissioner or head of agencies, probably departments at some point. I just want to ask you something now. From the civil society itself, what have they been able to do to actually correct this menace in the society, to correct the wrong mentality? Because you've actually mentioned that it comes from the family. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we understand. But the civil society, what are they doing or what have they done?
Their contributions.
You know, to actually cut off this to a very good or to a lower percentage.
Okay, so let me tell you that, as I said, governance and nation building, there are so many paths to it. It's a lot of efforts that contribute.
Yes.
And you cannot take out the place of civil society organizations.
Very true.
Whether they're faith-based or they're just non-governmental organizations. Now, a lot of work is being done and is being achieved in our nation by CSOs. And I'll give example. When you do skill acquisition trainings, what are you doing? It's governance in itself.
Of course.
Because you're contributing to job creation. You're contributing to nation building. You're growing entrepreneurs who are learning discipline. And they're learning leadership.
Yes.
And they're learning accountability. And they're learning finance and its role in independence and in growth.
Yes.
And in, you know, employing other people and all of that. So that's one part. Then there's mentorship. Civil society is... you know, I'll say at the forefront of mentorship in Nigeria. And you see that, you know, they continue to train and retrain and correct, you know, certain behaviors and habits and all of that that have come to, you know, destroy our nation. Yes. So we find them doing that. Then we find peace building. Without peace, there's no development.
Very true.
Their governance will be very difficult. Without peace. And so you find civil society organizations at the center of peace building.
Yes.
You know, in many states across Nigeria, they're recruiting more people, they're networking and ensuring that everyone is trying to play at
their
least whatever
role.
Little role.
Yes.
They can play in ensuring that we have a peaceful society.
Yes.
Then we have information as well. You'll be shocked to realize that I recently had a program and realized that only two people in the group, they're very young people.
Mm.
Only two people had seen the Nigerian constitution. So they don't know their rights. Wow. They don't even know what their duties are. You know, they only see someone do something and they think it's right. In law, we say ignorance is no defense, but also that's the place of government agency to orient the public, you know, on some of these things. And we don't really see the impact of that. It's civil society organizations that are teaching people to voice out, are teaching people their rights, are teaching people how to be responsible, to protect the planet, environmental damage, throwing off polythene bags and trash in waterways, you know, things like that. So there's a lot that is being done. And I think to an extent, civil society organization is even taking over, you know, what we know as organized governance, so to speak, because government has neglected a lot of its roles.
Okay.
You know, a lot of its roles, which should not be.
At all.
And it's why we should call government to be accountable.
All right. Yes.
Yeah.
I think at this point, we'll surely open the phone lines for you who want to make your contributions on the show, just to chip in one or two. You have questions to ask, you know, our guest in the studio. The lines for you to call are 0812-187-7777, or you call 0905-566-6699. To begin with, I think we have a call. Hello, good morning. Hello, good morning. All right, I think that was a miss. You can do out to still call. Let's hear from you that if you still have to contribute, you know, anything to us. Yeah, okay. Hello, good morning. Hello, good morning. Right, I think issue with the network. Hello, good morning. Hello, good morning. Hello? All right. I think our engineers will want to work on that. As they're actually doing that, let me quickly ask this question. You know, for example, we could actually see how productive the youth are, how productive the youth could actually be. They've been very, very productive when it comes to finding a means for themselves, even with the level of unemployment in the society. But, hello, good morning. Sorry.
Good morning, can you hear me?
Okay, good morning. I can hear you now loud and clear. What's your name and where are you calling from?
My name is Chaka Smith. I'm calling from Dadinko.
All right, you have just a few minutes to tell us, just 1 minute, I mean, to tell us what you want to say.
I actually listened to your program and it's educational.
Thank
I
you.
Love what you guys are discussing.
Thank you.
But I want to do a little bit of contribution.
All right, go ahead.
Growing up, the major problem we have right now is the fact that we leave governance and all this civic education to schools, to CSOs and all that. I think I first took my lesson of governance from my parents. I heard one of the discussants say she was coming from work one day and she saw children back in traffic. I learned my first traffic rule from my parents. My dad was the one who taught me how to cross the road and all that and all that. And then back to the discussion of Dimeji Bankole and co. If you remember growing up, we had friends who will steal their parents' car to come hang out and all that, to come show off and all that. And I had friends whose parents had tons of cars, but the parents will not allow them to drive their cars until you put fuel in the car. You know, you have to provide your own fuel to drive my car, you know, that kind of stuff. So it gives the child a sense of accountability. It gives the child a sense of belonging. It gives the child a sense of contributory, you understand. But we leave everything to government, we leave things to school.
Mm.
Parenting has gone from what it was to something else, you know. So you definitely don't blame a lot of these vices on just government, you know. Parents, a lot of our parents have taken the back row on on taking care of their kids.
All right, thank you.
And so that's my contribution.
All right, thank you so much. We need to take other calls. Yeah. All right, let's hear from this person. Hello. Okay, that was a miss. Okay, you've heard from him. What do you have to say about that first?
Yeah, he's reiterating the point I made.
Yes.
About, you know, all of us being responsible for how governance and nation building ends up on a large scale. Because if we don't, you know, play our part, as a teacher, you don't play your part.
Yeah.
As a parent, you don't play your part.
Mm.
As churches, mosques, religious bodies, traditional organizations, you don't play your part. You
right,
don't
I think
ask
let's
questions.
Hold on to that thought first. Let's hear from this person. Yes. Hello.
Hello. Good morning.
Yeah, good morning.
Yeah, my name is Haji Slim 6478. I'm calling from Abatua.
Wow, your name actually is so long that we couldn't get one. What did you say your name is?
Numbers in it.
Yes, I see the major problem we are facing, but we the youth, we want to learn. We are open for correction, but it's too late now, but never too late, because every youth now is honest. The only thing that is on his mind is to do something that is fraudulent. Let me tell you, because of the present condition we find ourselves. When I was growing up, I was a peacemaker by telling the truth. But when I come across police, I told them the truth. My truth become like light in their hands. So now I don't have conscience. Let me just tell you.
I'm so sorry for that.
I'm telling you, if you come now, you talk to me, I will do what is on my mind.
Ah, so.
It has already corrupted our mind. And people like me, like we are like 60%, I'm just assuring you. Because now, you can if you just stand by the roadside, they will just hijack you, carry you. We are trying to hustle. We have our business that we are doing. You understand? But they are still frustrating our life.
Yeah.
You are in Kekena, they will bring you out. Look at the trauma. Police will start searching you.
Hmm.
If possible, they will put drugs in your pocket to arrest you for no reason. I was in my house when some people come and arrest us, put handcuffs in our hand. They are trying to bring us out of the area, but people refuse because they know we don't used to do that type of habit.
All right.
It's not anything.
All right.
None of our businesses.
All right. Thank you so
much. The frustration is getting higher.
So sorry.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Sorry about that, but thank you for
let's take this
making
one.
Your contribution.
Yeah. Just this one more then. We go to the
hello,
comments.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning. Please, what's your name and where are you joining us from?
This is Joseph from E.T. Joshua.
Okay, please go ahead and make your contributions in 1 minute.
My sister and my brother in the studio.
Yeah.
It's very unfortunate what is happening in the country. More especially, you know, that's why this slogan of no grief for anybody, rampart, you understand? You cannot just come intimidate somebody, you know, and deal with him, persuade that person, tell that person to keep quiet.
Mm.
You understand? Let me tell you the truth. People are angry with the situation of things, more especially the molestation of the police in society. So that's why this slogan of leaving you in that studio, intimidation, don't agree to anybody. Let you know, agree. Good morning.
Okay, good morning.
Thank you.
Thank you for making your contributions. We'll be taking just two comments for want of time. This one says, I think what Nigerian youths lack is mentorship. Our leaders are not ready to carry the youths along the way forward. Therefore, the young people should believe in themselves by standing in the gap for each other. Then we will change the narrative. And I believe the present administration, now talking about Plateau State, of His Excellency Barrister Caleb Mutfwang, is ready to carry everyone along. This second comment says, Nigerian youths can help in building good governance through deliberate inclusion of the youth in government. In government places, it has been said over time that the youths are the future leaders. They need to be allowed to redesign their future and the future of those behind them by not just allowing them in government, but dragging them into it. The youth, on the other hand, must be prepared and equip themselves for good governance. Good morning.
Right. Good morning. Your last word, because we don't really have time.
Closing words.
Yes,
I'm going to say that, please let everyone play their role. Let everyone, the youth are not absolved of responsibility. Government is not absolved. Family, church, traditional organizations, everywhere you find yourself, be a good example.
Hmm.
Someone is watching. Affect a life today positively. Thank you very much.
Thank you. It was good to have you join us this morning.
Thank you for having me.
Yes, and we hope to have you more to, you know, have further discussions on.
Yeah, as much as time allows. All I'm right. always happy to show up.
Thank you very much.
All right, thank you so much once again. Yes, coming up next will be the issue of the Armed Forces Remembrance Day, which happened January 15th. That was yesterday, in honor and remembrance of our fallen heroes. Joining us on the program is another person, Bokonal Takwa, to talk about this shortly. Let's go on this break. When we return, the Armed Forces Remembrance Day will be the topic of discuss.
This is 101.9.
Many thanks for joining us on Let's Talk. That's a segment on Morning J. Of course, we're still talking here, and important issues are what we're talking about. Yesterday, being January 15, was a day to remember fallen heroes, like I told you before we went on that break. January 15 actually has so many significance. 1966, January 15, was when, the coup, which was led by Kaduna Patrick Nzogu, came to limelight, and Aguin Rossi was asked, that's the late general, was asked to take over, government, and that happened, for Aguin Rossi. Ever since then, the military took charge, and of course, they lost power after then General Olusegun Obasanjo, gave the need for people to come vote, and we saw Shehu Shagari come on board, but it was still taken again until 1993, when we saw Baba Ngida, General Babangida did the same thing, but of course that election was null and void. He actually placed an incumbent there. That was not a person, but NS Shonekan. Well, if history serves us right, General Sani Abacha came up and took over power from that very man, still with the coup process, before power was given back to the civilians in 1999 by General Abdusalam Abubakar. And of course, ever since then, we've been having a whole lot. And January 15, at the same time, in 1970, was the year, or was the day, the civil war came to an end in Nigeria. January 15, of course, has been put to honor our fallen heroes. Before now, it was November 11, we are from the British Commonwealth until Nigerians said, 1970 was when this whole thing happened for us. So let's use this very one to honor our soldiers. Talking to us this morning is another person, but a very senior officer here in the city of Jos, of the military, another person, but Colonel Takwa. Good morning, Colonel.
Good morning, thank you.
Or better still, would have said Bon, sir.
Okay, Bon, sir.
Yeah, the way he said the military. All right, let's get down. We've actually been seeing, we see this every year, talking about the Remembrance Day. Now, let's begin with, at what point has it actually created a positive effect, and how far have we been able to get the changes? Because it looks like a normal thing, like a norm, rather than it bringing more of its impact into the military.
Okay, thank you very much. Good morning, listener, once again. As you mentioned earlier, the Armed Forces Celebration and Remembrance Day is an annual event organized by the Ministry of Defense on behalf of the federal government of Nigeria, and the day is set aside to honor members of the Armed Forces of Nigeria who laid down their lives during the First and Second World War and also the Nigerian Civil War. Also, those that participated in peace support operations and internal security operations, such as the current fight against terrorism and banditry, kidnapping, as well as former Hadar clashes in the Middle Belt, all this together. And I want to you to understand that the celebration of Armed Forces Remembrance Day in Nigeria on 15th January each year is not just a mere ceremonial event, but a profound acknowledgement of the immense, immeasurable contribution made by the Armed Forces of Nigeria to national development, unity, peace, and security. You know, before now, it was celebrated on the 11th November. You know, but we demarcated that period because it's a worldwide event.
Yes.
You know, Nigeria was a member of the Frontier Force of the British colony. And after the British left, the Commonwealth still celebrated this event to honor the fallen hero, the sacrifice made by both the soldiers themselves, their family, and their spouses, because they also live with that anxiety that my husband in the war front, what's happening to him, they are praying to them. So all these are being honored on that day. So Nigeria demonstrated their own because of the unfortunate the civil war that Nigeria witnessed. Thank God it came to an end, and we move on. We still remain strong, united. That's what informed celebration of the event on the 15th of January each year.
All right. Before we go further, Governor of the state, that's Barrister Caleb Mutfwang, was actually in the secretariat yesterday, where he actually, you know, made some speech. And before then, I think he opened, you know, the pigeon, which is a sign of peace. Let's hear from the governor what he had to say when he was doing or after the release of those pigeons.
We want to pay tribute to those who died in service, those who got injured in the course of duty, and to pray for their families, that God will grant them the fortitude to bear the loss, and also God will grant them the wherewithal to be able to pilot the affairs of life in the absence of their beloved one. We made some commitments as government to assist the Nigerian Legion and the families of the fallen heroes, thereby to benefit. And by the grace of God, this week I made a commitment in church yesterday that this week we are going to fulfill those promises.
All right, Connell, you heard that very well. The governor actually said he made some promises, and some of them are actually payments, you know, of some particular money to some people. The welfare of those who have lost, the families of those who have lost their loved ones, how have they been taken care of by the Nigerian army or the military?
We need to clear something here.
Okay.
The Armed Forces Celebration and Remembrance Day.
It's a national event.
It's a national event, and it is organized by the government, not the military.
Yes.
Through the Ministry of Defense. And you know, we have a group of veterans, they call them
Legions.
The Legions. Legion. So it is the Legions that are being honored. You know, when you are honoring your heroes, they are living heroes.
Yes.
And those that have gone, that have laid down their life for peace and unity and security of this country. So, but every year, they come out with an emblem that is being launched. Even we, the military personnel, we launch this emblem to support the family of our colleagues that have gone before us. So I think in each state, the federal government through the president launched this. And in each state, the governors also launch as the chief executive officer of the state, and they contribute for the plight of the families of the loved ones that are still surviving, and even those retired personnel, those that have served this country meritoriously on the state.
Yes. Okay. Coming to those who are currently serving, so far, how has the Ministry of Defense made life easy or bearable, especially for our soldiers who are, you know, on the battlefront?
Soldiers on the battlefront, all the necessary requirements are being given. And I can assure you that a lot of improvement. If you go to the barracks, for example, you see a lot of things that are being done by the Chief of Army Staff, even by the GOC here, to ensure the welfare of both the family and the troops. You know, when the family of troops are not well positioned, are not well taken care of, it will affect their performance in the field. Yeah. So if you go to like Maxwell Kobe Rukuba here that we are in Jos, where we are, you see a lot of infrastructure development taking place going on. In fact, it's uncountable. And the GOC always, every week, GOC visit all those places to see that, okay, this particular accommodation is not looking fine. They don't have potable water. Immediately, he gives instruction. He monitors it and he comes there at all times to ensure that these things are being done. Mm. There are a lot of improvements going on in the barracks. These are issues that are being made possible to cushion the welfare of the troops so that they can perform optimally in the field. Also, when it comes to troops deployment, all the approved requirements of the troops are being given to them. Yesterday, there's something that the governor observed and mentioned. And I'm telling you, when we were in Mangu for a lunch with the GOC, and the governor came there by himself, and the Chief of Army Staff sent his representative. The governor, I didn't know that governor observed that they were calling the GOC the game changer. And that name, game changer, is a name given to him by soldiers, not even the officer. The soldiers that are in the field because of his interest in their welfare. And the governor mentioned it emphatically yesterday that I acknowledge with passion the passion the GOC have for the welfare of his troops. He mentioned it yesterday while we are having lunch with him at the Rhino Officers Mess in Maxwell Kobe Cantonment.
All right. You know, we've actually seen your efforts in fighting insurgency, insecurity. Though some people are not really satisfied with the level at which it is being done. And that's not because you don't want to. But of course, there are challenges you might be facing, you know, as the military. Definitely because you are humans. You have blood. People forget the fact you have blood in you that runs in you. And at any point, you could actually give up. Because that's what, I think that's one of the things you've actually signed for. That, you know, your life is for your country. You know, unlike others who actually, when they see something, they run away, but you always stand to fight it, fighting the enemies every day.
Yes.
What are those challenges you've actually faced, you know, in the military that you think up till now, you're still facing it, but you hope with time might actually go, and people should understand that?
I think the major challenge we have so far in what we have observed generally is criminality is on the increase.
Of course.
And these criminals, as we are planning, they're also having their own plan. They're trying to ensure they also go the other way. You understand, to make sure that they commit their heinous crime. And that's why always we call on the people to give us the maximum support. You know, the soldiers that you see in the field there, they do a lot of sacrifice. Some of them, look at the cold, look at the weather. They sleep outside, they don't sleep, their eyes open. You understand? They are there, committed and dedicated to their work. When you keep a soldier on a checkpoint, he is there. You understand? So all what we need is that improvement. Yes, improvement is coming on. Honestly, with the kind of leaders that we have seen, there are a lot of improvement coming in terms of more deployment of troops, which GOC is working towards that to ensure that, yes, we will deploy troops. And if, as the criminals are going sophisticated, we're also going technology sophisticated.
Mm.
And I can assure you that if you have been following trend of activities recently, you see a lot of improvement in terms of information gathering. Imagine a criminal that ran away from Plateau here after committing a crime, ran away up to Lagos, and we got him.
Mm.
The GOC used technology, track him down up to Lagos, arrested and brought him down to face justice for his heinous act. The same thing that's going to happen. Whoever he is that is committing criminality, if you think you can go ahead of troops, the troops are there to go ahead of you using technology. And that's what we are yearning for, and we are working towards improving our technological means of gathering information.
Mm. Okay, yeah. So some of these things that you have said, I believe, is beginning to bring hope to the people, especially on the plateau where we have been facing quite a number of attacks.
Sure.
Yes. Okay, so very quickly, before we open up the phone lines for you, I would like to ask you, Colonel, what's your advice to the youth who are in these villages that have been attacked. How can they cooperate and collaborate with the military personnel on ground to see that this insurgency or this banditry or this terrorism is brought to an end? And my second question to you will be, what your advice to young people who intend to join the military will be?
Let me start with the second point, the second question. You see, to come and serve your country as a military man, it gives you that prestige, that sense of belonging. It's something that you should be proud of, to serve your country in this capacity. I'm telling you, military personnel, security personnel generally are special people. You don't just, because there are a lot of things involved. Do you know that we are guided by both the Constitution, the Armed Forces Law, and a lot of rules and regulations? There are some things that freely, ordinarily, you can go to the market, you can do whatever you feel like, you can sleep where you feel like, you can go at your own time, wake up at your own time, which we don't enjoy these privileges. And that is why what informed about honoring us on that 15th of January, because of this immense sacrifice. Look at, your child is celebrating birthday, you are not there with him. Your wife wants to go on a holiday, there's no time to go on holiday. And then so many things like that. Or you have a relative, you lost a relative in the village, you cannot go. So for youth that want to join this military, it's a noble profession. It's a noble profession that anywhere you go, you'll be respected. Unlike now, let me give you an example of outside war. Like if you go to US, for example, UK and other countries, you see that even those that have retired from the military, those that have served their country, when they see them boarding plane, you see that they will allow them to board first. And everybody, when they are coming down, they will be the first to come down. They will be clapping for them because of the immense sacrifice. Mm-hmm. These are the type of motivation. These are the type of spiritual motivation that motivate other people to join. That will also motivate us, we that are serving, to do more.
Mm.
And then the second question you asked about the youths in the communities. As Josie always say, that please, all the security agencies, not only the military, all the security agencies, even if it is the vigilantes that you have in your community, you must work with them. You must cooperate with them. You know, it is very, very important that when you cooperate with the security agencies, you will be able to give timely information. Security will come to your aid at a very required time.
Yeah.
So it's good to cooperate with the military. They are making a lot of sacrifice. On the plateau here, I can assure you, I served here for only 2 years. We lost more than 10 soldiers on the plateau.
So sad.
So many of them, they lost their lives somewhere, injured somewhere. And even today, if you go to the hospital, you see a soldier taking treatment for a gunshot that he incur in keeping peace. So we always call for cooperation. There are a lot of things that are going on. There are a lot of things that we are doing. With a lot of arrests that have been done. There are a lot of weapons that have been recovered. A lot of weapons are in circulation. So if you're a youth, instead for you to go into criminality, go into legal business, join the vigilante of your community, and make sure that, yes, you are contributing your own quota, serve as a means of information to the security agencies.
All right, let's open the phone lines quickly for those who want to share their thoughts on the show. 0812-187-7777, or you call 0905-566-6699. Seems you have a call already.
Hello, good morning. Good morning. What's your name and where are you joining us from?
This is Jusa from Ethiopia.
Okay, please go ahead and make your contributions very briefly.
I commend you in the studio and the guests.
Thank you.
But what I want to say is that I would like everybody to practice what he preaches, because some information I get is that most of these there are some officers that lost their life in Niger State, and even their family now are facing a serious problem. They want to eject them from the house that they are living. So what I'm just trying to say is that when you come on air, please try to enlighten people so that people will learn more and still be encouraged. So the information again said that some of these officers, maybe when they transfer them, the money they're supposed to give them as transport allowance is about 150,000 or so, but they can give them just 2,000 naira or 2,500 to do their transportation. So it's very, very unfortunate what is happening, because there's a big, by the grace of God, the government of the day will try to make sure that the corruption in any level in this country will be pitched out. God bless you this morning.
Amen.
All right. Thank you for making your contributions. I think we'll allow the Colonel respond to it.
Yes. Thank you, the caller. You spoke about some of the officers killed in Niger and their families about to be ejected out of the barracks. I think Yes, you said that we need to enlighten people. Definitely, these are some of the questions that are very important in this kind of forum. In the military, you don't eject family of fallen heroes or those that retired unless all their entitlements are paid. That is for sure. I can assure you this. I have a friend, I have a brother that lost his life in the Northeast. I have my own family. I'm talking from experience. Up to even this morning, I spoke to one of them that, yes, they have paid all our entitlement and they have given us time to come and pack our husband's property from the barrier because they have paid all our entitlement. What normally happens in this kind of situation is that maybe the caller need to check back and get back to us or get our number so that we can guide the family properly in what to do. What normally happens is that the day you enter a military, this now goes to the youth that are listening to us over there.
Yes.
The day you enter military profession, you will be asked to provide your next of kin. In case anything happens to you, so that person will be contacted. His email number, his phone number, you provide his address, his village. Even if they cannot get you on phone, they will trace him back to the village. Why? Because anything that happens to you, it is that person that will be contacted. But as time goes on, most of the times you see, okay, Army will also, every year they will remind you that, okay, now that you have spent more than 2-3 years, if you have changed your next of kin, maybe you are married, now you have a child, you want to put your wife as next of kin or your son. They will give you form every year. They circulate the circulatory form every year so that you can quickly change so that there won't be problem. Most of times you see that, okay, it's a different person that's coming to claim your entitlement, but you have family and you have this. So there are a lot of problems in this kind of situation. So at all times, if you enter the military and you provide your brother's name as your next of kin and you have a family, please do us well by changing your next of kin. Let it reflect your true family so that all the entitlement will be paid. Because most of the time you see brothers will come and collect the entitlement and disappear and leave the family. And the family, the wife will not even know, or the children will not even know.
All right. I think we have another call here before you respond. Hello.
Hello, good morning.
Yeah, good morning to you.
My name is Olakole. I'm calling from Boston Road.
All right.
Good morning. First and foremost, this morning, honestly, I appreciate the Nigerian Armed Forces, and I appreciate the people, because plenty of you need your life for to stay in peace in this country. In fact, I think kudos to you people. I even that here, I love up to now. You guys are trying, and you guys should keep it on. But my question is this, Colonel, what is the problem at times? If there is an attack in a place, not always, I said at times, to respond, it takes a very long time. Okay, the one that happened is it in Mangu last year, that more than an hour, but more than 2 hours, the attack was on, but there's no military presence there. What is the problem, please? Thank you very much.
All right. Thank you very much. And before Olakunle, thank you Olakunle for your word of encomium on the military. Thank you for this, for the question you have asked. I think that is why, if you see recently, the GOC has shared his number to everybody. Even the wheelbarrow pusher on the street, GOC said they should get his number. Anything that's happening. Because we have our lieutenants, we have our troops deployed in all these areas. So that if you call a particular checkpoint, say this is what is happening in this area, and they did not respond and you did not hear anything from me, call the GOC directly, or call the PRO, or call me at any time. You see GOC, call GOC. In fact, this night, try and see. Send GOC a message by 1 o'clock, you see him respond. He's always wanting, especially
not anyhow message, please.
Not anyhow message.
If they call him at any time, he's ready to. And he doesn't, anywhere he goes, he shares his number. He will always direct us, give them my number, let them call me, let me get information from them.
Can you share
security
the number?
Security information. Yes, I will hear I share the number.
All right.
Before I leave here. My own number, the GOC's number, is everywhere. Call him at any time and he's ready to respond to you. And he will direct immediately and give you feedback.
All right, I think let's take this one. This should be the last for today. Then the juice will give us final. I mean, the caller will give us his final word. Sorry for that. Yes. Hello, good morning. Yeah, good morning. Your name, quickly, and where you're calling from.
From Cuba.
Sorry, we didn't get you clearly. What did you say your name is?
I'm David from Rukuba Barracks.
All right,
David from Rukuba Barracks.
Let's hear from you quickly in just 40 seconds.
Please, I'm asking, who is the catching pastor?
Sorry,
we can't hear you clearly.
Yes, you people have the air.
It's a colonel, yes. It's a colonel, yes. Sorry, the network is cracking. We're struggling to hear you.
We really can't hear you.
Yeah. Okay, Colonel, let's have your, a few words from you, then you share the number, then we'll take our leave.
Okay. There's one other very important question that somebody asked about allowance.
Yes. All right, yes.
Every soldier have what we call parking allowance.
Parking allowance.
Yes, as an officer, you are paid parking allowance.
How much is that amounted to?
As a soldier, you are paid parking allowance. It depends on you. It's calculated based on the percentage of your rank. It's based
rank.
On your rank.
Okay.
You understand? So if somebody is, but there's something that the caller did not understand. If a soldier is posted to an operational area, like in the Northeast or in Operation Safe Haven, there is no accommodation here that you park from Abuja to come to Operation Safe Haven.
Mm.
So you are not entitled to allowance. But if you are posted from Abuja to Rukuba Barracks, for example, you are expected to move your family from Abuja to Rukuba Barracks because Rukuba Barracks, they have accommodation. So you will be paid parking allowance to go. So this is very, very important because I want to clear this particular so that some soldiers will not go with that notion that they are not giving this.
Yeah. All right.
Yes, thank you very much. And we want to appreciate the public for honoring us. We want to appreciate everybody. There are challenges. There's no organization that doesn't have challenges. But sure. People should understand that the military is the people's military. That's what the Chief of Defense Staff always emphasized.
Mm-hmm.
So please take charge of your military, know that these are your military, and then support them in any way you have by giving them information. Thank you very much for being here.
All right. Would you like to call the number out for our listeners so they can take it down?
Okay, my number or the GOC's number?
Both.
Both.
Okay. My number is 081.
Yes.
66821588.
All right.
I'll call it again.
Yes.
081-66-821-588. Please call us for a very important security issue.
And we'll listen to
them. Emergency, yes. Then for the GOC, I'll give this 080-60-21-7401. 080-60-21-7401. I'm sure our citizens out there, especially those in the remote area, are listening and they should get this number. Please call us at any time if there's security issues in our area. Thank you very much.
All right. Many thanks for being part of the show, Colonel Takwa. This is the size of the morning, Jacob. This morning, it has been an amazing time with you. Naomi Karim.
Yes, a very big thank you to the Colonel and Mrs. Yitkin for joining us on the program this morning and enlightening our listeners on the role of youths in nation building and governance, and also appreciating our fallen heroes in the armed forces, and also urging the youths in each community, and not just the youths, everybody in general, to be a part of being responsible for your security. Thank you for joining us. We'll come your way again tomorrow, same time, same station. And until then, do have an amazing day.
Bye.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to JFM Podcast.